Okay, we'll go on with our next presentation. We are joined by Layla Baker with the Regenstrief Institute. And Layla joined the Regenstrief Institute in January of 2010 as a research coordinator. Since joining the Institute, she has been involved in a variety of medical studies that covered vaccination, medical reconciliation, and atrial fibrillation. In 1995, she earned her Bachelor in Medicine in General Surgery from Baghdad University School of Medicine. In 1997, she moved to the United States and decided to make a slight shift in her medical career when she realized that sometimes addressing health needs extends far beyond the capability provided by one-on-one physician interactions, and she decided to pursue a career in public health. Layla earned her Master's of Public Health, majoring in Behavioral Health Science from Indiana University, Purdue University in Indianapolis in 2005. We are also joined by Dana Hazen. Dana has been with the Indianapolis State Department of Health for 2.5 years. Indiana State Department of Health for 2.5 years. Prior to that time, she worked with the Louisville Metro Department of Public Health as a nursing supervisor in Community Health Services Division. She earned her Bachelor's of Nursing from the Valparaiso University and her Master's of Public Health from the University of Kentucky. Dana and Layla are here to talk to us about varicella vaccine efficacy estimates.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bloom, and thank you all for coming to our presentation today. We will be discussing a one-year surveillance period of varicella outbreak activity in the state of Indiana, and from the data we collected from those outbreaks, we were able to do a small vaccine efficacy estimate. Prior to going into our study, I just wanted to provide some background information on varicella vaccination in Indiana and what our current school recommendations are. For the 2010-2011 school year, there was a two-dose requirement for kindergarten and 6th through 12th grade, and a one-dose requirement for the 1st through 5th grade. This is a phase-in requirement, so in the next 5 years, all grades will require a two-dose series. And it also was a change from the previous school year, where there was just a one-dose requirement from kindergarten through 12th grades. Current estimates of coverage in Indiana include, from the National Immunization Survey, roughly 86% of children 3 years of age and under have received one dose of the vaccine. And from our state immunization registry, which we call CHIRP, there's an estimate of about 70% two-dose coverage for first through fifth grades. However, children who would fall under the FERPA waiver are not included in that estimate. In Indiana, outbreaks have been reportable for at least 10 years. However, individual cases became reportable as of December 2008 by physicians, hospitals, and laboratories through our passive surveillance system. The purpose of this particular analysis was to describe varicella outbreak activity from December 1st, 2009 to December 1st, 2010, and then from that information to report the vaccine efficacy of a two-dose series during outbreaks. For the purposes of our surveillance, we defined a case of chickenpox as an illness with an acute generalized maculopapular or vesicular rash in the absence of any other clinical diagnosis, which occurred less than 7 or more than 42 days post-vaccination, and for the purposes of the outbreak also had to have an epi link to another case or any case that was diagnosed through varicella zoster virus PCR or isolation through culture. Our outbreak definitions did differ slightly by age. For individuals 12 years of age and under, we define an outbreak as 5 or more cases that were linked by person and place that occurred within one incubation period. And for ages 13 and up, we use the definition of 3 or more cases that are linked by person and place within one incubation period. For the purposes of this particular analysis, cases again occurred December to December. And our cases were reported by school nurses, parents, or physician offices. The goal of our project was to confirm at least one case from each individual outbreak. Upon notification of the outbreak, specimen collection kits were sent to the school, the local health department, and local pediatric practices. The local health department nurses were encouraged to collect 2 specimens for each case. We collected two separate specimens because we tested one at our Indiana State Department of Health Virology Laboratory as more of a rapid test or rapid identification, and then sent one specimen to the CDC Varicella Laboratory for viral strain typing. For the purposes of our project, we also created a varicella school outbreak summary form that we actually sent to the schools upon notification of the outbreak. This form collected information on school-wide vaccination coverage rates as well as vaccination histories for all cases that were linked to the outbreak. This is probably difficult to see, but this is essentially the one-page form that we use to collect most of our information. To perform the vaccine efficacy calculations, we actually borrowed the outbreak formulas that are supplied in the Varicella Outbreak Manual Appendix F. The vaccination coverage rates were determined using the data provided in our school-based outbreak summary form and included coverage rates that were reported to us with the onset date of the first case, as many of our outbreaks did offer vaccination clinics. And we also used SAS 9.1 to perform any chi-square analysis. And it should be noted that children with an unknown vaccination status, children with a disease history, were all excluded from our analyses. And Dr. Baker will continue with the presentation.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Layla Baker, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. Again, for the period between December 1st of 2009 and December 1st of 2010, preliminary data showed that 388 cases of chickenpox were reported to the Indiana State Department of Health. That we had 11 outbreaks that involved 16 schools. The range of the outbreaks, some of them were as small as 5 and some of them reached 36. We had 147 cases reported, and we had 7 specimens collected. Four were confirmed for a wild-type virus and three from 3 different outbreaks. 11 of these cases were diagnosed by healthcare providers, and the good thing is there was no hospitalization or death during that time. This chart shows the cases we had. We had about 50% of our cases from elementary schools, and then 25% from middle school, and to a lesser extent were from high school and developmental training center where some students resided. And the age range for our cases was from 1 year to 37 years, and because we had some siblings and staff members, but the median age was 10 years old. The disease severity, we had close to half of our cases were mild cases, where they have less than 50 spots, and then about one-third were they had moderate, about 50 to 150 spots. The vaccination coverage for most of our cases was about 65% were at least vaccinated with one-dose vaccine, 5% have received a two-dose vaccine, and 25% received no vaccine history, and 7 cases said that they had a disease history. We had 141 information about the severity of 141 of them with the vaccine knowledge about them, and then it was reported to us by the school nurses and by the local health department nurses, and it was no surprise to see the more severe cases are the cases who had no vaccine history with a p-value of less than 0.01. And there wasn't that much of a difference between the 1 and 2 dose vaccine. The p-value was equals to 0.13. These coming slides, we're going to be describing the cases that we had and how many of them we used for the vaccine efficacy calculation. We started again with 11 outbreaks of 16 schools. We had 147 cases. And then we started receiving the information from the from schools, the ones that who completed the summary out, the varicella summary outbreak, 9 of them were able to complete that and send it to us, and the study team looked at the vaccination coverage for them, and we ended up with 6 schools and like 77 cases. And then we had to take it, the 77 cases went down to 73 cases because we took out siblings and staff members. Of that 77, we had 66 who we knew about their vaccine status and they had no disease history, and they were used for the vaccination efficacy calculation. The overall coverage for the vaccine coverage was 93.8 for our cases, and this table kind of shows the you know, different outbreaks, the vaccine coverage. We kind of showed some of them were like 64%, others were 100%. And what's interesting is, you know, some schools said that we don't have any cases or any student who have a vaccine or case history. Overall, when looking at all these all these student data, we had a kind of a high percent of students who we didn't have known of unknown vaccine or disease history. And the incubation period for our outbreak varied. We had some outbreak that lasted 21 days, others lasted 84 days. So it was really like going through like three or four incubation periods. The attack rate for the unvaccinated was 7.7, as compared to the vaccinated was 2%. The vaccine efficacy, the overall was 73.1, and it was the one dose vaccine was 63.5, which was close, less than we expected. The two dose vaccine, although it was closer to 95%, but the 95 confidence interval was like really wide because we had only 3 cases who were vaccinated twice. As for the study limitation, when looking, although all these cases were strongly epidemiologically linked, what happened is we didn't have enough time to look at the kids who were exposed to the virus and didn't contract it and compare it to the one who contracted the virus. And again, we had some low count of the cases, some with the two, like especially with the two-dose vaccine, and that kind of sometimes gives unstable numbers. And we just had 7 specimens collected, and 4 of them came back confirmed cases. And because of most of these cases have received at least one dose of the vaccine, and only 11 of them were confirmed by healthcare provider, the rest were reported by school officials or school nurses or parents. So a lot of it could have been misclassified another kind of viral rash. And that's another thing. Sometimes the duration of the duration of the outbreak is kind of limited us. Even if it's too short, we won't be able to see the index case. We didn't have the information to do the analysis of the age of the vaccine. Although there isn't that much evidence that there's one vaccine better than the other, but there is some information, some evidence that if the children receive the first dose around the age of 12 months, they are more to have breakthrough. To conclude our findings, we found our vaccine efficacy was close to what's reported by other studies, although the one dose was a little bit less than expected. And then looking at the statewide immunization records and at the two-dose vaccine at the elementary level, it was evident that the schools that had these outbreaks had a lower two-dose vaccine coverage, and that kind of helped us, encourage them to do the two-dose vaccine at the school entry level. And the final finding we found, because of the different duration for the incubation period and the outbreak, actually, we found that the schools who have a shorter outbreak period were the ones where the school official decided to exclude kids at the time of the outbreak who were under-vaccinated, exclude them to prevent future cases from happening, as compared to other school officials who didn't do that. And that kind of put the state health commissioner at a certain point considering doing a statewide school exclusion during an outbreak. And Thank you so much for listening, and we have to take a few moments to thank a few people from the CDC, Adriana, Stephanie, and Jessica and Scott. They helped us through the first year of the project with advice and everything else, and the Indiana school nurses, the public health nurses, and the field epidemiologists who helped us like in collecting these specimens. Thank you all.
Take your question.
Thanks. I had a couple of questions. You collected 7 specimens, and I'm just wondering, was that according to your recommendations that you only do you require that several specimens be collected from a single outbreak, or is just one, or is it a small number just because of the fact that you don't really encourage it? That's number one. Number two, of the there are only 7, so of the ones that were negative, was that because they were inadequate specimens, or was it because it was some other disease other than varicella and you just...
It was only varicella, but what's happening is sometimes by the time we're notified, it's kind of until the kit reached the school, we weren't able to collect good specimen.
Correct. Yeah.
They were rather far into the rash onset. Some of these were 3 days post breakout. So we still think that they were cases of varicella. I don't think we actually had any unsatisfactory specimens. We just had no DNA detected on those negative specimens. We did try to collect as many specimens as we could from each outbreak in the hope we would get one positive. That's one thing we're certainly trying to work for within the next year of the project, is to try to improve our specimen collection. So.
And one last question, you had 5 that had a disease history, and were those clinically interesting?
The cases that had a disease history, for the most part, those were parent reports of disease history. By Indiana, I think now kindergarten and first grade do require the physician documentation of the disease history, but for the most part, it was the parent coming in saying their child had a history of chickenpox. Again, that's kind of at face value, really, because I don't know that any of these children actually saw a provider for their diagnosis. So,
next question.
Jane Seawood, CDC. Nice work. We've seen in previous outbreaks, we've heard a similar story of parents with history getting chickenpox, but good answer. Can you just clarify for me how you documented vaccination history?
Sure. We actually had and I should have mentioned this in the presentation, each case that was reported to us through passive surveillance actually had a case investigation form completed by the local health department nurse. So that nurse was to contact the school and the family, if at all possible, to obtain a record of the vaccine. So for several of those cases, we did get like a lot number and a date of vaccination.
What about for the non-cases?
The 9 cases, that was from the school nurses are required in the state of Indiana to actually report their vaccination coverage rates, I believe, within the first 20 days of school. And so they were actually going through their records to pull those reports for us. There was a bit of confusion with the completion of that school outbreak summary form. There were several students who, what we consider double-dipped, where they were reported to have a disease history and a vaccine. So that's why we weren't able to use all of those forms we received back. The nurses still had some difficulties trying to get their numbers out for us. Right. So.
Well, I mean, you could have a vaccine history and disease history if you've had breakthrough in the past.
We're kind of learning from that lesson for the second year. We're asking them to... report is like, you know, we're really making clear what do we mean by each section, and it is there, but sometimes it's just right. Like filling these forms. And
just a follow-up question, I noticed your attack rate in your unvaccinated was it 7%?
The unvaccinated,
yeah. Yeah. Can you explain, I mean, your later comment that unvaccinated children were excluded from schools may help explain that. Mm-hmm. That's an extraordinarily low attack rate in unvaccinated, but you know, it might be now that there's such high coverage in schools, really a lot of these unvaccinated children are not getting exposed if the outbreaks don't go on very long and they're in another classroom. So do you have a comment on that?
I do actually. Particularly, there was one rather large outbreak that occurred right about 2.5 weeks after school started for the year. And so the nurse in that particular situation, this was one of the schools that did opt to exclude. There was a high number of unknowns with that particular school, and I suspect a lot of the students that reported to us with an unknown history were probably non-vaccinees, or they were students that maybe had one dose of the vaccine. That was just kind of our guess, that they didn't meet that requirement. So.
Thank you so much.